So Much Blood, a thriller serial in six parts, adapted from his book by Simon Brett, starring Francis Matthews as Charles Paris. Part 6, Up in the Castle. Actor Charles Paris has been presenting a one-man show on the fringe of the Edinburgh Festival and investigating the death by stabbing of Willie Mariello. After following various false leads, he had just decided to give up the case when, during a visit to Holyrood House with his friend James Milne, he found that a bomb had been planted in his bag.
Coffee, Charles?
Well, I'd rather have something stronger, if I may. Quite honestly, after all that questioning at the police station...
Of course. But what did they say?
Well, it was a bomb, all right. No question about that. They got in an army bomb disposal bloke to defuse it. He described it as just an amateur weed killer and acid affair. But it was still professional enough to have done for everyone in that supper room.
Here.
Thanks, Jones. Actually, we were very lucky, you know.
Oh?
Well, apparently the bomb was set to go off 20 minutes before we found it.
What?
Yeah. Fortunately, a connection had come unsoldered. Probably from being shaken about in my bag. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here now drinking your excellent malt. Cheers.
Cheers. So, it seems my suspicions of Martin Warburton were not completely unfounded.
No, no. I do feel rather stupid. Well, not just because you were right, but because the police knew all about it too.
Really?
They knew about Martin's disguise, the dual identity thing. They've been watching his movements closely for the last couple of weeks.
Have they?
Yes, and since the bomb, they've searched the flat he was renting in Nicholson Street.
And what did they find there?
Oh, positive arsenal. Bomb-making equipment, a nasty selection of knives and axes, and a meat cleaver.
Have they found Martin himself?
No, he's done a bunk. Probably in disguise again. The police are scouring the city for him.
So, the case has ceased to be a whodunit and become a manhunt.
Yes. You know, I thought he was just having a breakdown out of the pressure of finals, but, well, obviously it's something more serious. Real schizophrenia. Aggravated by overwork, of course.
All work and no play.
Makes Jack a nutter, yes.
Much study had made him very lean.
And pale and leaden-eyed. Poor kid. He's just so mixed up. And he was so much the obvious suspect, I never really considered him. I still wish I'd got it a bit more clearly sorted out in my mind, though.
What?
Well, we know that Martin planted the bomb, and it does seem reasonable to think that he planned Willie's death as well. But why?
Because he was unbalanced. Top you up.
Yes, I know, but I wish I could find some sort of method in his madness.
Well, what about the Mary Queen of Scots parallel I mentioned a few days ago?
Well, that would explain the Mariello stabbing. I mean, Willie was playing the part of Rizzio. But what about the bomb?
Mary's husband Darnley was blown up with gunpowder, Charles.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
At the instigation of Bothwell, as I recall.
Bothwell? But that's the part Martin's playing in Mary.
There you are, then. Here.
Ah, thanks. So, if he were identifying with Bothwell... I say, James, it's just struck me. I bet there's a portrait of Bothwell in the Scottish National Portrait Gallery.
There is. A miniature. The only extant picture of him.
Ah, well, that's why Martin went there in disguise, if he was obsessed with the character. What happened to Bothwell eventually?
He died in prison. Insane.
Now, that part of the identification could be horribly true, too. Right, so Rizzio stabbed, as he was in history. Then Martin tries to blow up Darnley. But why did he identify me with Darnley? I mean, I've got nothing to do with Mary Queen of Sots.
Perhaps he was getting confused.
Oh, no. Anna.
What?
Anna's playing Mary. He must have seen us together. Well, yes, of course he did. He saw us kissing downstairs a couple of days ago.
You and Anna Duncan?
Yes, yes. We had a brief, well, you know, sort of... But the question is, where's he likely to strike again? Who's the next person to be murdered in the Mary Queen of Scots saga?
Murders are a bit thin on the ground after Darnley. There are plots and battles, but I don't think any more major figures were actually murdered.
None at all?
No. Well, not until Mary herself had her head cut off. plenty of Scots who still regard that as murder.
Oh, my God.
What?
The police found axes in Nicholson Street.
So? I don't see what...
James, we must get to Anna's flat before it's too late. Come on. Oh, come on, come on.
Oh. Charles, what a surprise.
Anna, have you seen Martin?
Yes.
What, here?
He's just left.
Oh, thank God. How long had he been here?
Listen, if you're playing another of your elaborate games...
I am not. This is serious, Anna. We've got to find Martin. He's in a dangerous state.
Certainly in a strange state. He's babbling on about the police being after him.
That's true.
Why?
They want him for the murder of Willie Mariello. And the attempted murder of Charles Parrott.
What?
Oh, you're all right. Hasn't he been here?
Yes, he's just left. Where is Martin now, Anna?
I don't know. Honestly, he just appeared last night in a terrible state and begged to stay. I was frightened of him, so I didn't argue.
Yes, just as well. I think you were next on his list.
Oh, my God.
Do you have any idea where he was going?
No, but he was dressed up.
Disguised?
Yeah.
What, with a wig and beard?
He left them here and asked for some stuff of mine.
Women's clothes?
I was so scared I let him take
it. So what's he wearing?
A red and blue striped smock dress and a black wig.
And which way did he go?
Up towards the Royal Mile.
Right, come on, James. Maybe we can get to him before he does any more harm.
Charles?
Yes?
Do you really think he might have murdered me?
Yes, Anna. I do.
Oh.
Oh, it's no use, Charles.
There's no sign of him. He could have gone anywhere in the city.
Now, let's be logical. Where would he go?
Somewhere where he could hide, where no one would see him.
Well, why, though? Nobody would be looking for him dressed as a woman.
No.
So maybe he'd try and make a complete escape.
What do you mean?
Get right out of Edinburgh altogether. Do you know, I think he's probably making for Waverley Station. Come on, let's see if we can cut him off.
Right.
Come on, James, he must be going this way.
There are so many people. He could be anywhere.
Wait, look down there. I'll swear that's him.
Where?
By the traffic lights, the clothes Anna described. Damn, he's seen us.
Well, we can...
He's doubling back.
What?
He's going up that way.
Which way?
Up towards the castle. My God. He's going straight into a dead end. Come on, come on. We must hurry, James. Martin.
Hello, Charles Parris.
Hello.
From up here on the ramparts, you can see the whole city.
Yes.
Right over to the Firth of Forth.
Martin. Martin, why don't you come back? Come back along the ledge, Martin, and... What are you doing?
Just taking off the smock and the wig. I don't need them anymore.
Martin.
Martin? Yes, Martin. Martin Warburton. That's who I am. Look, watch! Look at that smock floating down like a leaf in autumn. Down, down. It's a long way down. Yes. Martin Warburton I began, and Martin Warburton I will end.
But not yet. You've got a long time yet, a lot to enjoy. Martin, you need help. There are people who can give you help.
The police are after me.
I know, but they only want to help you too. They do, really, Martin. We all want to help. Just talk. You can talk to me.
It looks very peaceful down there. Very close. Not far for an autumn leaf to fall.
Don't do it, Martin. Come back along the ledge. It'll be all right. All the pressures you feel, they're not your fault. You can't help it.
Original sin? I am totally evil, you know.
No. Come. Come on, Martin. Come on down from there and talk. It'll all seem better if you'll talk about it.
Talk? What about the police?
Don't worry about the police.
Well, I...
Come on. Martin, come on, come back. That's right. Now, come on, another step. Good, good. Come on,
Charles.
Come on.
I just met this policeman.
No!
I am Martin Warburton!
Oh, God. Poor boy.
Brian Castles has got another good publicity story.
You know, Charles, we still go very well together.
Yes.
Do you think we could ever try again?
Hmm.
Have to be on my terms, though. Just me, no one else.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we really ought to get divorced or something. Our position's so vague.
I'll think about it.
I wonder if we're decadent making love in the afternoon. Particularly in an Edinburgh guest house. You can almost feel the sniffing disapproval of the Edinbourgeois.
Mm. Oh, I'm not so sure. I've never thought of Edinburgh in that way, you know. To me, it's always seemed discreetly erotic. Like a trim nanny shedding her uniform behind the bushes in the park. It's always seemed to me a very sexy place ever since...
Yes, I remember her. She was one of the first after we got married.
Yes.
Back to London tomorrow?
Yes.
Shall we travel down together?
Well, why not? You know, I still can't help thinking about that poor boy.
Martin?
Yes. Seems such a waste. He was so young. You know, he had a really good brain and original mind. To kill himself, just like that.
He had murdered someone. He tried to kill you.
Yes, I know. Oh, it's impossible to see inside another person's mind, isn't it? To imagine what it must feel like to identify with the Earl of Bothwell. Someone who's been dead for over 300 years.
Weird.
Then to try and recreate the crimes. To blow up another Darnley in Holyrood.
Darnley wasn't blown up in Holyrood.
No?
Well, come on, the palace is still standing, isn't it? The house where Darnley died was in the Kirkerfield. What is more, he wasn't blown up, he was strangled.
Was he? Well, then what about the murder of David Rizzio? Bothwell didn't do it on his own, I know. Who was with him when he...
Charles, I thought you'd had a university education. Bothwell wasn't involved in the murder of Rizzio.
No?
Oh, dear, my fourth formers could do better. David Rizzio was savagely murdered by Darnley, Patrick Lord Riven, who rose from his sickbed to do it, Andrew Kerr of Fordenside, George Douglas, and others whose names escape me.
Really?
Why do you say really like that?
Martin Warburton read history at Derby. He just got a first in his finals.
So?
Well, you'd think if he was going to model himself on an historical character, he'd at least get the facts right.
Well, he was hardly in a very rational state.
No, I suppose not. I wonder what it was that Willie knew about Martin.
What do you mean?
I was just thinking back, you know. See, the reason I felt suspicious about Willie's death was something he'd said to me just before he died. I got involved in a truth game with him, you know, one of those pointless improvisation exercises. You have to ask each other questions, tell the complete truth. I can remember it quite clearly. He had paint and plaster dust in his hair. So first of all, I asked him whether he'd been decorating, and he said yes.
Mm.
Then I asked him if he was happy. And he said no, he wasn't. Because he'd found out something he'd rather not know about somebody connected with the group. Presumably that person was Martin. But what had he found out?
About the disguise?
Why should that have made him so upset?
Maybe he'd seen the arsenal of weapons Martin was hoarding.
Maybe, yes.
Or perhaps Martin had some other skeleton in his cupboard.
Oh, well. Some questions are never going to be answered, are they?
Nope.
Listen, we could go out somewhere nice for dinner tonight.
Yes. And then you could come back here. Have you got your stuff from the house?
Yes, it's all in my bag. Toothbrush, razor, dirty shirts, dirty socks, script... copy of the works of Thomas Hood, the complete one-man show kit.
I enjoyed hearing the Hood again.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Sorry you hadn't got any of my favourite poem in the show.
Well, which is your favourite poem?
The Dream of Eugene Aram, the Murderer.
Oh, yeah. Why do you like that particularly?
I don't know. Perhaps because I have the same job as the main character.
Good God.
What?
I have just seen something that should have been glaringly obvious for days. Francis, before our dinner tonight...
Yes?
Would you care to join me in a little breaking and entering?
How are you doing? Can you get in?
Yes, I think so. I remember Jean Mariello saying that this catch was loose. Now, if I can just hook my finger around it and... Ah, yes. There. There's still nobody about.
No.
Look, I'll climb through and let you in.
Are you sure there won't be anyone inside?
Quite sure. Willie's widow's left Edinburgh. The house is on the market. I'll just climb in and then I'll open the front door.
Do you want me to switch on the torch?
No, no. There's enough light from the street lamps. Good, good. All Willie's tools are still here.
Charles, I don't understand. What on earth it is...
Well, it was something that Jean Mariello said about her husband, that everywhere they lived, he always tried to make alterations. You know, knock down walls, that sort of thing. She also said he had an image of himself as a great landowner in his ancestral home in front of a blazing fire.
Well, he couldn't do that here. The fireplace has been bricked in.
Yes, exactly. But how recently? See, this paint's very new. Could you pass me that coal chisel?
This?
That's it. Thanks. Well, make yourself comfortable, Francis. This could take some time. Right. There. That's enough. Right. Now you can switch on that torch. There. Just shine it onto... Oh, my God! Well, I think it was you who used the expression, a skeleton in the cupboard.
Ah, Charles. Won't you come in?
Thank you, Jane.
Can I get your malt?
Well, that would be very nice.
Do sit down, please.
Thank you. I've just come from Meadow Lane. From the house you sold to Willie Mariello.
Ah. There.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, how much do you know?
Just about everything, I think. As you see from the state of my clothes and my hands, I've been dismantling a wall.
So you've seen it?
Just as Willie Mariello did.
Yes. He came and told me the day before he died.
Mm-hmm. And did he say he was going to the police?
Oh, no, no. That wasn't his idea at all. He suggested that I was a wealthy man and...
Blackmail.
Precisely.
Which was why you had to kill him.
Yes.
Who was it, James? The body.
No one. It was just someone I knew. No one.
Who?
A boy from the school, from Kilbruce. Pupil of mine. He was called Lockhart. He was a good boy. I liked him. He seemed interested in my books and used to come round for tea or... That was all. Really. In spite of what the other boys said, that was all. And one evening he came round. He wasn't in school uniform. Said he was going to run away to London. And he'd left a note for his parents. I told him I thought he was being foolish, but that I couldn't stop him. And I said I'd miss him. Just that. Nothing more. And when I said it, he said something so vile. A comment on why I'd miss him. He said, It was just like all the others, that I was a... It wasn't true. I don't know what happened then. He was dead. Perhaps I strangled him, I don't know. But suddenly he was dead. I knew I had to get rid of the body. The men had just finished installing the central heating. The cement was not yet dry in their bricked-in fireplace. I knew the house was in a conservation area, so there was no danger of it being demolished. And it never occurred to me that anyone would want to go back to open fires once they'd got central heating. So I felt confident the body would not be found during my lifetime.
And everyone assumed the boy had gone to London, as he said, and disappeared there.
Yes. You keep reading of cases like that.
And you managed to live in the house and just forget it?
That wasn't so difficult. Oh. It had been so quick. Sometimes I really believe that it hadn't happened. That I'd read it in a book. I did forget about it.
Just as you would have managed to forget about Willie Mariello's death. Hmm?
Exactly. I've always found it difficult to believe in the reality of other people.
So, once Willie had come to see you about the body, he was a condemned man?
Yes. I knew I would have to kill him, though there was no immediate hurry. A dagger was just a trial run, really. When I saw all the dummy knives lying downstairs before the photocall and substituted the real one on the off chance that no one would notice, I never really thought it would work. But it did. A perfect remote control crime.
And, of course, I rather played into your hands by confiding in you as my Dr. Watson.
You did. And that made me confident that I wasn't on your list of suspects. Until last week.
Why? What happened then?
You started getting evasive. I felt you were holding something back. But what got me really scared was when you said you were going to give up the case because it involved someone you knew. I thought you were onto me then.
But I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Anna Duncan.
And I needn't have planted the bomb.
That was you?
Yes. I had been building up your suspicions of Martin Warburton to keep the heat off me anyway. And when I managed to get inside the Nicholson Street flat and saw all the bomb-making equipment, I knew it might come in useful. So, as soon as I thought you were on to me, I picked up the bomb and waited my chance. Once it was planted in your bag, all I had to do was to stay with you until it was discovered, and you'd cease to be suspicious of him. In fact, the discovery happened at Holyrood merely added drama to the situation.
So that break in the connection was deliberate. You knew the thing wouldn't blow up.
Of course. And Martin Warburton's subsequent behavior couldn't have suited me better. I knew he was in a confused state, but his suicide was more than I could have hoped for. It made a neat, open and shut case with a crime solution.
How very intellectually satisfying that must have been for you.
Yes. What put you on to me?
Well, two things, really. First, the way you kept on about Martin's identification with the Mary Queen of Scots story, even when it didn't fit the facts.
And second?
The dream of Eugene Aram, the murderer.
Oh?
When you returned my complete works of Thomas Hood, I asked you about that poem. You said you hadn't read it. But this morning, you quoted from it.
Much study had made him very lean and pale and leaden-eyed.
Yes.
So? I'd forgotten I'd read it.
No, no, you deliberately put me off. You didn't want me to even think about that poem. The Dream of Eugene Aram the Murderer tells the story of a schoolmaster who commits a murder and whose crime remains hidden for many years until the body is discovered. Ah, a bit too close to the truth for comfort, hmm? You didn't want to risk setting my mind on that track.
No. That was foolish of me. My secret was too like his. The question is, Charles, what happens next?
Yes.
I suppose you feel bound to go to the police.
I'm afraid I do. Well, not because I hate you or anything like that. In fact, I like you. You don't fit the stereotype of a murderer. I'm not even particularly shocked by the crimes you've committed. Of course, I don't know about the boy, what the rights and wrongs were there, but it sounds to me like a moment of passion. Sudden burst of insanity could have happened to any of us, given the right sort of provocation. I don't even mind a great deal about Willie Mariello. He was a slob. Nobody seems to have mourned much. But, James, the crime I can't forgive you for is the one you didn't commit. Martin Warburton's suicide. That poor boy was mixed up beyond belief. But he was very talented. And at a difficult time in his life, he needed help. And what your elaborate framing of him did was to put him under a pressure that few people in their right minds could have coped with. You didn't think of him as a person. Just as a counter in your game of self-preservation. And it's because you didn't think of him as a person that I believe you're a dangerous man. And you should probably be put away.
Perhaps we should go to the police then.
I think we should.
I'll take a book.
I dare say there'll be a lot of sitting around at the police station.
Yes. I dare say there will.
In part 6 of So Much Blood, Francis Matthews was Charles Paris, James Milne, Alan McNaughton, Anna Duncan, Kim Thompson, Francis, Jennifer Hillary, Martin Warburton, Michael Maloney. So Much Blood was adapted from his book by Simon Brett and produced by Martin Fisher.